All right, so this is the introduction podcast for The Hypnotist by Lars Kepler, and hopefully at this point you've finished Train Dreams and have done your responses and everything like that. But anyway, what I'm going to be doing is just briefly, again, like we did with Train Dreams, I'm going to briefly introduce this novel to you, talk a little bit about why we assigned it, why it's interesting. And I think one thing to kind of start with, and the main thing I want to focus on in this podcast, is the fact that The Hypnotist is the only novel we're reading this semester written by someone who's not an American. And as I mentioned, this class is biased towards American literature primarily, because that's my background, and I also think it gives the class a little bit more of a shape to let us know what's going on in American literature, which is kind of fragmented and fractured at this point in time. So, you know, it's kind of a broad enough topic as it is, but I included this novel by Lars Kepler because I think it represents an interesting publishing trend that's become important in the American literary market in the last 10 years, and that is, in case you haven't already done any reading about The Hypnotist, that's the kind of popularity of Swedish crime novels in the United States. It seems like a unusual thing to become popular, and perhaps it is. But this novel, I think, continues the tradition that was started by Stieg Larsson's The Millennium Trilogy, which begins with The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which was recently a movie, I think, last Christmas, directed by David Fincher and everything. Also, the three novels in the trilogy were also filmed in Sweden, and they were actually successful in the United States as well in fairly limited release, and you can watch them on Netflix if you haven't seen them. So the Stieg Larsson's Millennium Trilogy novels are these kind of mysteries that deal with a sort of complex web of political deceit and whatnot, and they were bestsellers in the United States. And this continues a much smaller trend of importing Swedish crime novels into the United States. Two of the kind of earlier detective figure series that have been popular in the U.S. are Kurt Wallander's novels by Henning Mankell and Martin Beck by Joel and Walu, which are kind of earlier in the last couple of decades. And they've been fairly popular over here, but not as wildly successful as these Stieg Larsson's novels, which are were all three bestsellers and, you know, were made into a movies in Sweden and also a movie here. And The Hypnotist, I think, comes along and is also itself a bestseller, kind of, I think, consciously riding on the coattails established by the success of the Millennium Trilogy. So that's why we're looking at this novel. It's kind of an arbitrary choice to pick a novel outside of the American authorship context. But the reason I'm interested in this is because these Swedish thrillers are fairly popular in the United States. So I thought it would be worth it for us to take a look at them. So, as I mentioned, The Hypnotist is written by Lars Kepler, and if you haven't figured this out yet, and by figuring it out, I mean you haven't opened your book yet, which is fine if you haven't done that. The Hypnotist, Lars Kepler, is actually a pseudonym for the married couple of Alexander and Alexandra Anderell, who are themselves both famous literary authors in Sweden. And they wrote this crime novel together, and they published it under a pseudonym because they felt as the fact that they were already established authors in Sweden, it would somehow be confusing if they were writing together, I guess. And then the other thing also, as they've said in interviews, that they didn't want the fact that they were writing crime novels to somehow cheapen their mainstream literary pursuits, which is, you know, BS, but there you go. And I think that you find that a lot. We discussed this a little bit with the Western in the discussion of Train Dreams, that you find a lot of times that authors in kind of mainstream literary context are going to be a little bit wary of writing in what's seen as a genre context. And despite the fact that some of these authors I mentioned to you, Henning Mankell, Stieg Larsson, have been wildly successful, you know, significantly more successful than any of these kind of mainstream literary authors could ever hope for, it's still seen as in some way cheapening their artistic vision somehow. So they've kind of done this to distance themselves from the kind of genre context so that they can still claim to be, you know, literary authors who are doing quality work. And that's why they published it under a pseudonym. But it took the Swedish press about 6 months to figure out who they were, because Apparently, these novels were quite the sensation in Sweden, and everyone wanted to know who they were, and so they figured that out pretty quick. But nonetheless, also, I guess another thing to note about Lars Kepler, they chose the name Lars as a specific tribute to Stieg Larsson, so they're definitely riding the coattails of the Millennium Trilogy here, so you can bear that in mind. I think following also on the success of the Millennium Trilogy, another thing to bear in mind for this with this novel is, as I mentioned, the Millennium Trilogy movies, the Stieg Larsson novels, when they were filmed, were hugely successful. I think they're the most profitable Swedish-made movies in Sweden in history. So they were very financially successful. And The Hypnotist has already, I believe it's already been filmed, and I think it may have already been released in Sweden as a movie, and I'm sure it'll be imported into the United States at some point as well. But the novel was, I think one thing you'll notice reading this novel, and this is something that happens a lot of times when mainstream literary authors try to write in a genre context, the novel draws more on the sort of what we would call in literary analysis tropes, which are sort of repeated patterns or repeated images, kind of a shared vocabulary that exists within a literature, a field, whatever, of kind of making references to specific things or things happening in a certain way or certain plot points recurring over and over again. These are called tropes, and they're just repeated rhetorical patterns that authors deploy in order to signal to their readers that they're participating in a specific genre. And one of the things I want you to pay attention to when reading The Hypnotist, and I think this is interesting, is that I think this novel in a lot of ways borrows more tropes from film than it does from other crime novels. So if you're familiar with crime novels, you may find that this doesn't meet your expectations of what a detective novel should do. I have read enough detective novels in my time. I found it a little bit frustrating that the novel is paced more like a movie than it is like a crime novel. So something to bear in mind that I think this is intentionally cinematic, like it was written in order to be filmed. And I'll talk a little bit about this because there's a quote that I want to talk about from the first section that really shows what I mean. But we'll get into that more when we discuss it. But pay attention to this when you're reading it. Also, another thing that I think is interesting that hasn't really been talked about with this novel, because the Anderells, when they talk about the novel, the thing that they highlight, and you'll see it without giving away a lot of information, there are a lot of evil children in this novel. It's a repeated pattern, and I won't go into any details at this point because, you know, with a mystery, part of the fun is not having the ending spoiled. So I won't go into any detail for you, but there's a lot of evil children in this novel, and the Anderells have really kind of doubled down in interviews about claiming that they like to write about things that scare them, and they have three young daughters, and they always said that they generated this novel by thinking about what would happen if their children turned evil. So that's kind of what they say their novel's about. But one thing literary analysis teaches us is that authors are not always the final authority on their texts because, as people have pointed out in discussing literary criticism, words mean more than they will. So you can always find that the meaning of language is always escaping us. As writers, if you write, your words don't always necessarily mean exactly what you want because there's a slippage in definitions and we bring different contexts to. So another thing that I've noticed in reading this novel, and I'll be addressing this in my individual quote podcasts in the next couple of weeks, but pay attention to this. I think this novel is partly discussing the inability to emotionally connect brought about by cell phones and computers and things like that. I think there's this question about connection and making connections with people or not based in the age of the internet and kind of mass communication. So pay attention to that as well. But, you know, see what you think about this as well. I think it's interesting to see what responses you have because The Hypnotist, I scheduled this one after Train Dreams because Train Dreams was kind of a, I think, very dense, symbolist kind of work that deals a lot with poetic language and kind of rich metaphors. And I think this is a much more realist novel. It's not, it's not got the kind of strong imagery, I think, as much. It's much more plot-driven, and you're reading it for plot. So I'm really interested to see what you guys pick out of this to talk about, because I'm very excited to hear that. So anyway, The Hypnotist by Lars Kepler, which is a pseudonym for Alexander and Alexandra Anderel, but for the purposes of this class and the tests, Lars Kepler will be the name you need to remember. So enjoy. I think it's a change of pace from Train Dreams. See what you think. I look forward to hearing from your responses. Enjoy.